Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Super thanks to Chris Elio, filled in super early this week, so we appreciate him coming up. We'll have him back in a couple of weeks or so from now. We get some days off. So Rob Center, we always are fabulous producers, so we appreciate all his hard work. In the studio with us now, Samantha Pearson is back, Lewisburg Neighborhoods Corporation Elm Street Manager, and she's wearing the Walk It, Bike It hat. One of these days you're going to come in with a ball cap that says Walk It, Bike It.
Well, we still have a lot of T-shirts that we're trying to get rid of, if anyone would like to get any. Well, they're available at Earl's.
Oh, is that where you get them, at Earl's? Yep.
And they're very visible.
Yes.
Okay.
Highly visible.
I'll have to get one there. I got to go up to Earl's. He's having a big sale, so now's the time to go there, up on Fairground Road, right?
Correct.
Okay,
yep, right next to the rail trail.
All right, yeah, he's a real ally to Walk It, Bike It. There's no argument
Definitely.
About that.
Yep, he's
right.
great.
Good. All right. Well, he gets a little free mention this morning then for being part of the solution. And the second voice you just heard is Mary Higgs. She's chair of the Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper Board. So welcome aboard.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on. This is your first time on the radio. Yeah. The Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper, we certainly are lucky enough to talk to her from time to time. Tell us what the board does in terms of helping the direction of the Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper program.
I'd be happy to do that. And I'd like to add that today I'm here as a volunteer with Walk It, Bike It Lewisburg, and I'm really proud of the progress that organization has made. And I'm also delighted to be working along with Carol Perensen, who is the Middle Susquehanna Riverkeeper. And right now the board is engaged in trying to help the organization grow and support Carol in the many programs and plans that she has underway for 2019.
I'm sure she has some New Year's resolutions for the program, so we'll be hearing from her in the month ahead, I'm sure, about that. All right, so we are talking about 2019. We'll talk about the Walk It, Bike It Lewisburg New Year's resolutions and some activities coming up in our second segment. But let's talk about issues that we know are occurring. We see vehicles idling a lot. We see a lot of road salt. This raises the environmental hackles of folks that really tried to, take ultra good care of our valley.
Well, and actually, right now, road salt is sort of far from our minds. I'm not even sure Lewisburg has had any days of distributing it municipally, and we certainly haven't had to tackle our sidewalks. But it's something we all need to just sort of every year remind ourselves of.
Right. And the newspaper, the Daily Item, lately had an article about the dangers of de-icing or salt melts for the pets. And I think that that's one of the ways in which people are starting to recognize the danger of road salt is that pets can lick their paws, or they can find the rock salt gets embedded in the pads of their paws, and this can become painful for them. And now that people, perhaps through their pets, are starting to think about healthier, more environmentally friendly alternatives to rock salt, that could be beneficial to the river, to the landscapes, to the plants, and everything else that's affected by the high sodium content.
All right, so we're talking rock salt that we see people putting on sidewalks, although that's like saying, a beverage. There's 100 different kinds of rock salt out there.
Certainly, and it's not about necessarily endorsing a specific product so much as even if you're using something, to use it judiciously, actually follow the manufacturer's recommendations. A lot of people just are like, oh, a little bit's good, more is better.
Exactly.
And actually, the right amount is better. That, honestly.
The right amount is better, and it's also important to use the right salt for the right temperature. Here in central Pennsylvania, we don't have to worry about, the negative 20s so much. But it is important to read the package for application directions, how much to use per square feet or per yard. And I would like to encourage people, if they have the time to do this, to, maybe go a little bit light on the application and see how it works. And then, if they need more, then certainly do that. I'd like to add that the EPA does have a website where you can look up environmentally friendly rock salt alternatives for private homeowners. And they list 25 products under de-icer if you search for epa.gov. safer choice/products, or I'm sure you can find it, with a little exploration, that they, people are trying to make greener versions of salt for residential use.
So what's wrong with sidewalk salt excessively applied? What's wrong with sidewalk salt at all?
Well, like Mary was mentioning, on the one hand, it has a sort of can have an immediate impact on your household. That salt, if you actually use the sidewalks yourself or your pets do, winds up in your house. It may end up in your pets. And it also just becomes, as we put it on our streets, and then ice eventually melts and snow melts, and it eventually turns into water and runoff and goes into our waterways. In our waterways, it is not the kind of thing, like, you know, we're surrounded here by great fresh water, rivers, streams, creeks. We know our state is largely known for its freshwater fisheries. We're literally dumping salt into our freshwater fisheries with all of this. It's not like it's going anywhere else.
Right. It all runs off.
And does wind up in our river.
Well, and then what? We don't seem to have terrible waterways locally, and we use tons of road salt.
Well, actually, our waterways are, they sort of teeter on the edge of being listed as most endangered. I think the Susquehanna, I lose track of which year it gets, it makes the list of top 10 most endangered waterways. And those are it's not one thing that makes a waterway endangered. It's death by 1,000 cuts, including little bits of road salt or sidewalk salt. I know that, like, with the application question of how much you should use, a lot of people are like, well, I have a teenage daughter, and she's like, how much do I put in? Not of road salt or whatever. She's making soup. I'm like, a quarter cup. How much is that? 4 tablespoons. How much is that? I'm like, use a measuring cup. And actually, that applies to road salt.
You have a teenage daughter?
Yes, I
do. Okay.
I know.
I could sense the actual exasperation.
Yes, right.
There. So. Okay. But anyway.
And basically, the manufacturers do tell you it's something, you know, depending on what it is, a cup per,
right.
Yeah, like 15 square feet. If you can't figure it out, literally draw something that's 3x5, or figure out what your sidewalk squares are. They're, you know, it's easy math. It may be 9 square feet or 12 square feet or 15 square feet, and sprinkle one cup of the stuff and see what it looks like. It's not rocket science, and it's not a mystery either.
It'd be easy to get a scoop that's marked for cups or measurement, just keep that with the rock salt.
Yeah.
Okay, suffice to say that salt on roadways and sidewalks is a non-point source pollutant.
Yes.
It's not ideal in your house. It's not ideal in your, what about gardens or nearby the road or nearby your sidewalk?
Exactly. I mean, it's sort of rough on plants. It's rough on animals. Now, at the same time, we acknowledge that it's very rough on people if there's ice on the sidewalk.
Right.
So this is a challenge. One of the best ways of eliminating that is actually to shovel. Now, in our household, there's a great deal of shovel strategizing, having to do with looking at the forecast and figuring out when it's going to get warm, because around here it snows, but it's also warm, right? It's not like it snows and we're in upper Scandinavia and it's just we're going to have building up frozen layers of snow for months on end, where in fact, by the way, they can ride bikes all winter on that packed snow because it never melts. It's actually nice and crunchy and has good friction.
But we don't want that.
We don't want that. We're not aiming for that. But it also doesn't create the slipping hazards, to be honest. We have, you know, weather that hovers around freezing. And so as a result, you are trying to figure out, is it going to start melting midway through the snow? In which case, if I shovel early, I'm going to get a sheet of, you know, half inch thick snow cone on my sidewalks. Or if I, you know, is it just going to get too heavy? So we do a fair amount of that because, as everyone knows, if you do shovel at the right time, it's clear, it melts, even just a little bit of dry air, and your sidewalk is totally clear, and you never put any salt on it at all. You just took the ice off and allowed it to dry.
All right. So we know it's a pollutant. We know it's not ideal. Does it actually hurt anything? Is something worse? You know, like we have invasive species that are popping up in this, you know, in the river valley and so on. Are they salt happy, or do they like the salt?
There are some zooplankton that are more salt tolerant, and there have been some studies that show that those life forms increase, and those that are less salt tolerant are disappearing. But I think, as Sam said earlier, the real environmental dangers are just that this contributes an additional burden to the life forms, so that what you see are not, you know, fish kills, but you see species that don't have enough food to eat, or who are laying fewer eggs. And, you know, the culmination of this is just that we're damaging our ecosystem, and people are looking for alternatives. So for municipal brining or pre-wetting of the roads, there are some communities that have turned to using beet juice molasses, pickle brine, cheese brine. And in the case of Virginia, they did a study to see if they could recycle their leachate pond that they had near salt storage for the various salt storage facilities around the state, if they could recycle that for their brine and the pre-wetting that they do on the roads to make the road salt more effective. All of these add additional salt, but the trick is to come up with some way to minimize the amount of salt that's needed on our roadways.
And on our sidewalks, use sand instead, or
yes, you can use sand.
That's commercially available yet, that I know of.
No, but on our sidewalks, we can use sand. I sometimes put down the cat litter that we use, which is basically sawdust. That won't help with the melting. In fact, it may. Insulate the ice, but it certainly will provide traction and alert people to this is a possible slippery surface.
All right. Well, we're talking about road salt. It's a clear additive to our environment. What does road salt do to Japanese knotweed? Maybe if we flood the valley.
Right. If it worked against that, you know, I'd be promoting it, actually. So one of the things that that invasive species are often known for is being just sort of opportunistic and thriving. They tend to thrive in marginal environments, places that are sort of disturbed, not sort of ideal. And that's sort of what we tend to do. We go around and disturb our environment. And the road salt is a way that you take something and it may look like, oh yes, that's a lawn, or that's something that we're maintaining and taking care of, but then we are disturbing it chemically.
Right.
We're sort of disrupting its normal function, and that does provide an opening for these opportunistic species.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation. Mary Haig is here. She's one of the volunteers with Walk It, Bike It Lewisburg. Samantha Pearson is the Lewisburg Neighborhoods Corporation Elm Street Manager and the Walk It, Bike It Coordinator. When we come back, we'll talk about what's on the Walk It, Bike It calendar in 2019, including a polar bear plunge is coming up. A bike rodeo is possible. We'll talk about biking in the winter. Fortunately, we do see folks riding bikes around here these days, so that is good to see. And, of course, we've had a mild winter so far, so that helps out that. In the studio with us now, Samantha Pearson is here, Lewisburg Neighborhoods Corporation Elm Street Manager and Walk It, Bike It Coordinator. And Mary Haig joins us. She's one of the volunteers in Lewisburg with the Walk It, Bike It Committee. In case folks forgot, Walk It, Bike It, a group of volunteers and guidance to try to make walking and biking brought up and improved a topic around here.
Yeah, we're just trying to improve the conditions for walking and biking.
And educate drivers,
right? Just making sure we have a functional transportation network that serves everyone, really promoting complete streets for everyone in our area.
All right, so Walk It, Bike It, you have an agenda in 2019? Not a political agenda, but, well, maybe you have that too. But
We always have an agenda. We are the bicycle lobby. No, we really are in favor of all modes of transit. We just want everyone to figure out where they fit and how they fit together, rather than sort of assuming that, you know, roads are only for motor vehicles, which in fact, if you look at PennDOT's guidance, they aren't. They are supposed to serve all users, all modes. In our area, we don't have that much in the way of transit, but even that, we do participate in various roundtables and groups that are trying to work towards transit as an option. And we are just trying to make sure that things work more smoothly. Like, we have our campaign for Walk the Walk, Drive the Drive, which is on the Lewisburg Neighborhoods website, lewisburgneighborhoods.org. You can look up Walk the Walk, Drive the Drive. And we have all sorts of recommendations for whether you're walking, biking, or driving, just how to conduct oneself to make things move smoothly along our roadways. It's often just a question of respect, having respect for all the other modes, and recognizing, you know, that braking is one of the activities that a driver can engage in. We tend to sort of barrel through, and instead we promote things like 20 is plenty when you're driving downtown, and, you know, just safe driving, especially on our country roads. You never know what's around the next bend or over the next hill. Could be farm equipment, could be an Amish buggy, could be a person on a bicycle. And in fact, I've already mentioned one teenager. My other teenager, I've also mentioned, is working on learning to drive. He's doing one of these online virtual driving courses right now. And they really emphasize on rural roads the need to be ready to brake and slow, especially around curves and over near the crowns of hills. And I think that's really lost around here. We do tend to treat our country roads almost like slalom courses or roller coasters in our vehicles. And, you know, it would be safer for everyone if we were a bit more cautious.
All right, and share the road has been your message all along. And there's going to be a lot more to say in 2019 about walk it, bike it, and activities and tips and pedestrian safety and pedestrian walkways and traffic signals and so on. So we'll have a chance to reiterate some of those. But you're going to have some fun in a few weeks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, some people call it fun. Here's the most fun thing you can do. You can go to the Lewisburg Downtown Partnership's Polar Bear Plunge, and you can watch other people jump in the river in early February. So this is called the Polar Bear Plunge, and it's a multiply beneficial fundraiser. It's actually something put on by the Bucknell Office of Civic Engagement, and all the entry fees go to the Downtown Partnership, which supports Lewisburg's downtown, which is great. And then many of the plungers are also raising funds through sponsorships and pledges for other causes, and Walk It, Bike It is among those groups. So definitely we encourage people to join the plunge if they'd like, and, you know, you can sign up and in advance. It's a little bit less expensive, or the day of, you can even sign up. But also we encourage people, if you want to support walking and biking and encouraging and improving walking and biking in our area, to support the Walk It, Bike It efforts by pledging whatever you think makes sense. All of those funds will go to support our events and activities projects over the coming year. Things like River Road Holiday, which we're going to be doing again on Mother's Day this year. We'll also be doing, we're going to be bringing new, a bike rodeo, like a skills rodeo and educational rodeo in the fall. That'll be tied to the schedule for the Unpaved of the Susquehanna ride in October.
Oh, their Unpaved is coming back.
Yes, oh, really? It is.
Fabulous. Well, we had hundreds and hundreds of bikes in town for that, so that's great news. Okay, so you have a busy agenda. Yeah, pay attention at lewisburgneighborhoods.org, a good place to find the Walk It, Bike It info.
It is. You can find stuff like that on the Lewisburg Neighborhoods website. You can also look up Walk It, Bike It, Lewisburg.org, and that will actually take you directly to our Facebook page for Walk It, Bike It specifically.
All right. So, and then all the details on all the activities will be kept posted there. We mentioned earlier you're selling T-shirts, so you can pick those up at Earl's Bike Shop if you're interested in one of those. So that supports the fundraising as well. Let's see. Biking in winter. I have seen some bike riders around. The mild winter has helped that.
It helps it. And also, if biking is your primary mode of travel, just because the weather changes doesn't mean you get off your bike. It's not, a fair weather activity only. And in fact, it doesn't have to be. There are times when it doesn't make sense to be on the road. At the same time, you can sort of bike in almost anything. It is good to have proper clothing, have high visibility gear. I was just telling Mary, my mother makes sure our family is fully equipped with high-vis vests. We have all different sizes. They go over the coats. They go under the coats. All sorts of stuff.
And that's important at this time of year when it's a little bit darker in the morning and the afternoon commutes. People need to remember that they're not as visible to drivers as they might be in the summer.
Right, and that goes for pedestrians as well as cyclists. If you're on a bike, it's also important and, in fact, legally required to have lights as well. Flashing taillights are my favorite, and headlights are, of course, also very helpful. Those, along with other gear, like just making sure your feet are warm, your hands are warm, your head is warm, and you have a hat that works with your helmet. Those are all important things. And then there's sort of more insider tips, like actually lowering your seat post in the winter can be good. Can make it easier to keep your balance or catch your balance if you do encounter traction issues. It actually should slow you down slightly, and it's wise to ride a little bit slower in the winter.
All right, so those are some of the points that relate to winter biking, but you encourage folks to keep that in mind. Keep the tires pumped up, and you get a mild day or a super chilly day. Just bundle up, and out you go.
Yeah, now, the keeping the tires pumped up is an interesting question. Now, there's more and more people riding fat bikes, people with not just big tires, but huge tires. fat bikes work really well in snow and ice. But even if you don't have that, even with regular tires, actually having slightly less tire pressure can help in the winter. It's kind of like riding on sand.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So that could help folks. So you invite folks to consider that. Yeah, I used to ride bike all the time when I went to college. So that's how you got around.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter if it was snowing or what. That's how you got there. All right. So that is important points about biking. We talked about road salt in the last segment, trying to protect pets and the environment. So just using the correct amount is as far as we went on our conversation there. 2019 LewisburgNeighborhoods.org has got some stuff going on. We see a lot of people talking about vehicle idling. What's your view on that, Sam?
Well, basically, idling is an issue, again, for all road users. It impacts drivers because it's a choice they may or may not be making, and that actually impacts their wallet. It also impacts air quality for people around them, which tend to be pedestrians and cyclists. And really, all of us, we all share the air. And so we'd really like people to make a concerted effort, especially, it's the beginning of the year. A lot of people are making resolutions. People find that it can be hard to keep more challenging resolutions. So we want to offer this up as a fairly obtainable resolution.
Yes.
To idle less.
Idle less, and a lot of people idle their car in the belief that it will use less gasoline than turning it off and turning it on again, and that is perhaps not quite as true as one would think. Apparently, if you idle for more than 10 seconds, it would be more gas effective to have turned off your car. So 10 seconds isn't really that long when you think about where you might be sitting idling. Now, this is not for a car in traffic that's idling at a traffic light. This is if you're in a parking lot or waiting for someone to come out.
A lot of vehicles
turn
off during idling now, or electric vehicles don't do anything when you're idling. So, the car manufacturers are on board with this idea.
They are. I mean, it helps their gas numbers. It helps their mileage. And in fact, that's something a lot of people just aren't aware of. There's this great campaign that Mary found. It's called that whose slogan is "Idling gets you nowhere," literally. And it literally just burns money out the tailpipe, and you're not getting much for it. So we just need to, you know, again, sort of adjust our thinking. I'm not sure why, but it feels like I've been seeing more random idling vehicles in the past month than I have in a long time. Obviously, I don't mean over the summer. I mean over the past few winters. I'm not sure why that would happen to be. I think there's also, you know, Mary mentioned people thinking that, well, I'm not going to bother to turn it off because they'll use more energy to turn it on. That's not true anymore. It's also not true that you need to warm up your car for the engine to work. This is something which may have been true 30 or 40 years ago, but modern engines basically warm up best when they are actually in motion. If the temperature, what I have heard from reputable sources, are like, if the temperature is below negative 20 degrees, maybe you could idle for a couple seconds. That's right. It is not, you're not going to hurt your engine block.
Well, I feel better about this because I have always just hopped in the vehicle and gone immediately. Turn the key, turn the lights on, put it in gear, and go. So
you're
now
good.
I'm safe now. Yeah. I used to get yelled at, and now I'm off the hook. So. All right, LewisburgNeighborhoods.org. More information about vehicle idling and walk it, bike it, LewisburgNeighborhoods.org. She's going to post some Facebook stuff about vehicle idling so that we have some information there. 2019 agendas there, road salt information, you name it. Thank you so much, both of you.
Well, thank you.
For coming in. Walk It, Bike It, Lewisburg. Guests today, Mary Higg is one of the volunteers, and the coordinator is Samantha Pearson.
Thanks.